The Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Jim for that reading. And that reading contains a phrase that we're going to look at this morning as we continue in this thought of togetherness. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I began, that our numbers have fallen, but there are things, there are strengths that we still have among us, and one of, I think, is our togetherness. And so just thinking about that, just going to focus on ways that we can accentuate that, we can make sure that we're keeping these principles in mind, and we can use that to our advantage. So, in our first lesson, we looked at some scriptures that taught us that we are members of one another, and that we can use that when we are in need and so forth. And so, today we're going to expand upon that and focus most of our time on this Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 passage, which Jim just read for us. Here the Apostle Paul is describing a way for it that we can be together, that we can use this. And the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul taught Christians about the calling that they have in Christ. And as chapter 4 here begins, opens with the call for us to walk worthy of the calling to which Christ has called us, but we have to consider the picture of what that means. We are to walk with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And so the part we're going to focus on for our time this morning, in the spirit of, or in the thought of togetherness, is we are to bear with one another in love. Different translations help us kind of get an idea of what this may mean. The New American Standard says, show tolerance for one another in love. The King James, which I'm pretty sure is what Jim read from, says, forbearing one another in love. And there's a Common English Bible, which I'll use on my phone, that I don't read passages from, but I use it because it kind of helps us understand maybe difficult passages or phrases. And it reads, accept each other with love. The Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I didn't put it in my notes, so I didn't. But when I looked at Strong's Concordance, it means to hold up and to bear with. And the different contexts that Strong says this word is used in the Bible means to endure, to bear with, have patience with, suffer, admit, or persist. So, I hope we're getting the idea that that's something that we're going to have to have some, it takes some work to bear one another in love. A lot of times in our lives, you either said it yourself or you've heard people say, I don't have to put up with this, or I'm not going to take that. Well, in many aspects of our lives, that is our option. We're free to say that, and we're free to act upon those statements, but not when it comes to interacting with one another in love. We are to tolerate one another, we're to bear one another. Basically, it says we need to put up with one another. Now, we might hear this and think that we're doing this all the time. Oh, I put up a lot. I put up with my neighbor, with my spouse. I put up things that my kids might put me through, or that I'm dealing with my parents, or I put up a lot with my coworkers, and I especially put up a lot with my boss. Well, we need to think about it, then are we enduring and tolerating others, though, when it comes to the body of Christ and the way that God is telling us here in Ephesians to do so? We have different responsibilities with one another than we do with our boss or our coworkers or our family, something along those lines. And so we need to think about, are we putting up with each other, or are we doing it in the manner that we're told to forbear one another? If we look at Ephesians 4 again, and we want to notice how it is that we're supposed to be doing this. We're to walk bearing with one another in love. We're not just put up with each other. We're not supposed to just get through it. We're supposed to do it in love. And that's something different than just getting it over with or working, plowing through it. When we put up with each other without love, we're doing it begrudgingly. Or maybe we'll do it at an approach that could cause some resentment. It could cause some hard feelings or even, dislike of each other. So I think we all can agree that's not the way that we should be interacting with each other. But we have to interact with each other and put up with each other in love, and that looks a lot different. Because when we don't do that, that's when marriages fall apart, that's when families become fragmented, and let's be honest, it's when churches split. If it gets to the point where no one is forbearing one another in love, that's when churches can have issues. And to be completely honest with ourselves, we have to admit to ourselves that isn't always an easy thing to do, because we all can admit that people are going to irritate us from time to time. It's just how human interaction is. I know this may be hard for you to understand, but sometimes I'm sure I've aggravated each and every one of you here in some way, shape, or form. We all have. And it may be hard for you to understand, but you've irritated each and every one of us here probably in some way, shape, or form. It's just the way life is. We like to think that everyone else is the problem, but oftentimes it's us. I know in poker, people will say, if you sit down at a table and you can't figure out who the worst player is, you're the worst player. We all have to realize that sometimes we're the problem in a relationship breaking down. Now, think about yourself, your quirks, your little, idiosyncrasies or whatever. Would you want to be your roommate? Or, the person you're going to marry and spend time with? Well, we have to stop thinking of unrealistic expectations of others and realize that we have our own issues that people have to deal with us. And we can't place our unrealistic expectations on others and not consider that we ourselves have to meet those same expectations. We can't place them on others if we're not willing to do them ourselves. And we all sometimes struggle with how we handle each other. Consider again what Paul is saying here about focusing or bearing with one another in love. We have to follow this command. It is something we have to do, and we can't stop loving others or tolerating others because of their faults or their mannerisms or whatever their little quirks may be. We still have to do so. Whether it's an intentional or unintentional, something that someone does, whether it's meant to be irritating or not, we have to handle it with love. We don't have to sit there and think, did they do that on purpose? Or we can't think that way. Regardless of what someone does or acts, we have to love them and put up with them. And there's always just something about which we are bearing each other. There's something that we all can be helping each other. But coming together as the body of Christ, that has to not be an issue. And we have to realize that any offense or any mistake or any misstatement or some implied context of what someone may say to us, it's not something that we can let fester. And so we've all... Well, I would say any of us here who's never done this, but ever put their foot in their mouth, understands this, that sometimes you don't mean to say something silly, but after it's out of your mouth, you wish you could take it back. And many times, that is what causes hard feelings, it causes issues. But Paul told the Corinthians that love bears all things. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. And that love does not keep a record of wrongs. And that love is not resentful. That's human nature, to keep a tally. Well, they did this to me, they did this to me. If we're Christians and we do bear one another with love, we can't keep that mental checklist active in our head. We have to move past that. We have to focus on the command here in Ephesians 4. And so, I've talked a lot about what we shouldn't do, but let's talk a little bit about how we can do that. How can we bear with one another in love? Looking again at Ephesians 4, there are three character traits that the Apostle Paul mentions here. And I think it takes all three of these to be able to be successful at doing this. Paul says that we are to walk with all humility and gentleness with patience. I don't think these words, well, I don't think there's any words that are picked by the Holy Spirit by accident, but these three in particular are very considered very well for us here. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul uses the same combination of words to come up with a similar thought for the Colossian letter for the Colossians. Colossians 3, 12 through 13 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." The three keys that are found in Ephesians 4 are also found here in Colossians 3, and it even says this leads to forbearing, bearing with one another. And so we have to look and see what these three keys are and how we can use them in our goal of dealing with each other and bearing one another. First, we have to have humility in our approach to each other. That really just means don't think so much of yourself as you are thinking about others. We sing that song, you know, more of me and less of you, or then it goes to less of me, more of you. It's that kind of attitude that we have to have towards each other. We cannot lovingly bear with each other if all we do is thinking about ourselves and how irritated that other person makes us. That's not a humble attitude. Second, we have to have gentleness or meekness, as it says here in the book of Colossians. The idea of gentleness or meekness is to have consideration for others. Submissiveness towards others, and basically just a sense of being courteous and having courtesy when it comes to one another. And then finally it says here we need to have patience, which is, well, what is patience? Regardless of what it is, I'm sure there's a lot of kids in the world today that don't have a lot of patience for the next 14 days. They're wanting Christmas to come very quickly. Not a lot of patience among children at this time of year. And if you think about it, to have patience, you have to restrain yourself. You have to pull back. You have to be measured and have that kind of approach. And that's what Paul is telling us here too. We need to have self-restraint. We can't be hasty. Hastiness gets a lot of people in trouble. Because when you're hasty, you're not thinking through. You're not considering the results of your actions. And that's what is talking, what we have to keep in mind. Speak softly, measured, don't jump to the first thought that comes in your head. We are to be patient with each other's weaknesses. And that is something we have to understand, that not everyone is mature, in the doctrine as well as much as we may be. There may be just personal issues that the person is dealing with. And we have to be patient with those weaknesses. No one is perfect. No one's even been close to being perfect, except, of course, for the Lord. And so we have to stop living with the idea that other people need to be perfect around us, because that's just, it's not how it is. And so to encourage all of these things, the humility, the gentleness, and the patience, we have to You know, I say to encourage this in a way for us to be able to obey this command, I'd like us to consider 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17, and that reads, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul is saying, I've looked at myself. I've looked inwardly. And what he says he saw when he did that was that he was the chiefest of sinners. He was the worst of the worst. But for us to understand why he did that, we have to look into why he considered himself this. From what we know about the Apostle Paul, he was not someone who walked around beating himself up all day, telling himself, "What a bad person you are, Paul. Paul, you are the worst of sinners." He didn't dwell on that. But by seeing himself when he's reflected as being the chief of sinners, it allowed him to fully appreciate the love and the grace and the mercy that the Lord showed when he was willing to die for us. Christ came to save sinners. Well, that's all of us. We're all sinners. And at different points in our lives, we've been a real mess. And we've needed that love and that grace and that mercy. But we have to not dwell on things we've done in the past. Just like we can't hold that or have that mental tally sheet in our head of what other people have done to us, we have to let go of the things that we've done to ourselves. And we have to end this process. But we can't go on the other side and say, "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer. I've never done this or that." We can't swing on that other side also. We have to realize that what we've done is bad enough, and it still is something that we can reflect on and realize the benefit that we've been able to gain by Jesus coming and dying for us. Paul openly declares that he's not perfect. He calls himself the worst of sinners. And despite all of that, he recognizes that he was able to receive mercy. We cannot forget who we are, and whether we're the worst of sinners or just a really excellent sinner, we do it really well, whatever the case may be, hopefully we have all received the same mercy of Paul. And this is all being done by the patience of Jesus. Jesus showed and continues to show a perfect patience, or shows perfect patience toward us. And so we need to reflect upon this. We need to reflect on his patience and show outwardly to our other brothers and sisters the same level of patience, the same level of humility, the same level of gentleness to each other than what we know that the Lord has shown to us. And so the great patience that Jesus has shown towards us, we need to keep in mind as we are bearing, putting up with, enduring with each other. And so when people say the wrong thing to you, we have to be able to, physically or metaphorically shrug our shoulders, water off a duck's back, that type of thing. We have to let it go because we've done the same things to other people. We've said the wrong thing. We've done the wrong thing. And we would want them to have that attitude towards us. When people are unkind to you, we have to be able to let it go because we've done the same thing to other people. When others are irritating, just know that you've irritated others as much as they've irritated you. And more importantly, we have to let it go because of the example that Christ gave for us, who let go of our sins. He doesn't remember them. He doesn't continue to hold them against us because of the patience that he has for us and the love that led him to giving his life for us. So next week, we will continue with another thought on ways that we can take advantage of the togetherness that this congregation has and ways to keep it from breaking down and not being the strength I really feel that it is today. Brother Grushon has the prayer, and after that, he will lead us in our class.